everything is because of the hardware failures. So if our server is running on a single server, there is a chance that the server will fail at some point and our server will die, service will die. So what we want to avoid is to have a single point of failures in our configuration. So most of the time we just want to provide redundancy by replicating all the hardware components and connecting them together, so even if one of them fails, the server is still running. And of course it would be best to be able to run everything in multi-master mode, active-active mode. So all the cluster nodes can serve the requests. But it's not such... It's nice because apart from high availability, we also get more performance, hopefully, if all the nodes can actually do the work. It's not easy all the time. So if we cannot do that, we should at least provide active-passive configuration. So when our master node dies, basically we have a slave node with all the data present, and he can just pick up from the from where the master node left. So that's the big picture. We have our requests coming from the cloud, and we have two nodes, one master and one slave. They of course have to communicate with each other, at least to be able to decide which one is the master and which one is the slave, and of course also to synchronize the data between each other. So what options do we have to select a role for each node in the cluster when we talk about FreeBSD? So in base system we have CARP, Common Address Redundancy Protocol, which can do this for us. It negotiates a role between nodes and can select one of the nodes to be the master and the other to be slave. We also have Heartbeat, which I experimented a bit while working on Hust, but unfortunately it was just too complex for me, so I ended up using UCARP, which is basically userland implementation of CARP, and have a bit different characteristics. For example, all CARP notifications are asynchronous, so it just informs us that we should switch the role, but it doesn't wait for us to actually switch the role, which might be important in some cases. UCARP wait for us if it needs, so it just runs our script to switch the role, and we can delay the negotiation a bit. Okay, so the most important part of running such a cluster is to keep data in sync. Depending on your data, you can use different kind of tools. If your data is just firewall states, you can use pfsync with pf firewall. If you need to synchronize the data, you can use applications like rsync or ZFS send receive. But the problem here is that both rsync and ZFS send receive must introduce some delay because you cannot replicate the data as they come into the master node. So for example, you can run rsync every 5 minutes, let's say. But of course, it's very expensive to traverse very complex file systems, so even 5 minutes might be too often. And in case of ZFS send receive, this time can be a bit lower because ZFS doesn't really depend how complex the file system is. It will just send the differences between snapshots, which is much faster than traversing all the file system. Although still we need to decide how often we want to run ZFS send receive. And of course, depending on your needs, that might be okay or might not be okay. For example, in my case, in my company, we are doing mostly security-related stuff, stuff like system authentications. And if we run a cluster doing authentication, we don't really want to lose any data. If the user authenticates with his one-time password, we want to store which password he used during last authentication, so he cannot reuse the password. And of course, if we have a mechanism to synchronize data, which runs every few minutes, there is a chance that on master failure, we will lose some of those informations, and the user will be able to use his one-time password twice, for example, which we really don't want to do. And of course, we have some application-specific methods like MySQL replication and other. When it comes to application-specific methods, we found that the problem here is that database data is not all you need to synchronize. Most of the time, you have much more to synchronize. In our case, we have to synchronize database, we have to synchronize configuration because someone can log in and just change the configuration. We have to synchronize logs and stuff like that. So if you will use MySQL replication, we of course only synchronize part of the data that are important for us. That's why such methods are not really cannot be used in all these scenarios, because if you use MySQL replication, you still have to provide some way to replicate the other data, some other way. And when it comes to cluster configuration, you really want to avoid complexity. Okay, so if we want to replicate different kinds of data, we can use solutions like network file systems. But of course, you have to ensure that you just don't move your single point of failure to the network file system server. Because even if you run your cluster, which is doing, which is providing your services in a cluster mode, and you have single NFS server, of course, when the NFS server dies, you lose your data. So you need to still replicate or provide redundancy for the NFS server itself. Another solutions which moves the bar a bit, they move file system implementation to the cluster nodes. So all you need to provide to those cluster nodes are row storage. Example is Red Hat's GFS, which can run on multiple nodes and just requires you to provide row storage using storage area network, for example. And of course, you have really nice solutions like Iceland's OneFS, which is distributed file system. There is no single point of failure, of course, if you can afford it. Okay, so when it comes to block-level devices that provide high availability, there is, of course, storage area network. Those solutions tend not to be cheap as well. There is DRBD for Linux, and there is HAS for FreeBSD. But there is a problem. We have to address somehow when it comes to cluster configurations. It is known as split brain condition. When your cluster nodes are connected, everything is fine because your role negotiation software can decide which one is the master and which one is the slave. But sometimes the link between those nodes can fail, and there is no way to tell that the other node is actually running. So what the software for selecting role would do then is to just make you a master. So you end up in two master nodes. Sometimes they can be visible by the clients, both can be visible by the clients, but they cannot see each other. So this is quite complex problem because some part of your customers will reach left masternode and some will reach right masternodes. And both the data that will be modified can be actually very important. And that's an interesting problem when you consider storage area network in this picture, because if you have two masternodes and both are modifying the same storage and can still access the same storage, they will just corrupt their own data. There are solutions to mitigate that risk. You can use some small partition to actually... you can use small partition in storage area network to negotiate the role as well. So you can discover that the other node is actually running, only the link died. But still, this is really not something we would like to have, because you cannot recover from that. Of course, you can if you have backups, but it will take time. And if you need high availability, you just don't want that situation to happen. The biggest challenge when it comes to high availability software is that you set up your cluster and some problems show up. And it turns out that the most of the problems with all kinds of clusters are basically bugs and problems in high availability implementation. So this is very unfortunate, because you set up cluster to have high availability and you don't want your software to cause problems and actually cause outage of your services. So HAST works a bit differently. It will use the local storage for your node. So you attach a disk or mirror of disks to each of your nodes. And HAST will synchronize data from master to slave, which is a bit different from the storage area network. And HAST provides synchronous data replication, which means that we won't lose even one bit if the master node dies. Before we confirm to the application that the data is stored, or to the file system, that the data is stored on the disk, we will wait for the slave to confirm that he actually stored the data. So we only answer that write is successful if both the nodes are stored the data. So in our case, in case of authentication system, we won't lose any data, and we will be sure that one-time passwords are actually one-time. HAST operates on block level. Just creates a geom provider in FreeBSD, which means it's totally file system independent. You can use it with UFS, you can use it with ZFS, and I will surprise you, because I have a demonstration and I use UFS with HAST. And HAST reuses geom gate class. This is a geom class I implemented some time ago, and it just provides proxy between kernel and user land to proxy all the I/O requests to the userland daemon, because in case of HAST, there is HASTD daemon, which works in userland and just waits for requests from the kernel. And we also have HAST control utility to configure HASTD. What's very important is that HAST doesn't decide about its role on its own. HAST is just one of the pieces of software you need to actually run your services in cluster configuration. HAST only provides raw storage. You still have to put file system on it. You still have to start some services. You still have to, for example, assign a shared IP address to the master node. And HAST doesn't do that. There is a software which does that for you. It's UCARP, for example, which will negotiate the role, will assign your IP address, will change HAST role to master, for example, will mount your file system, and will start your services. So HAST by itself doesn't decide about the role. HAST is currently limited to two nodes, one master and one slave. There is no multi-master configuration. and there is no master and multiple slaves configuration. One of the also very important cases is when you have really short outage of your slave node, and the node is back in a few minutes, Haas will synchronize only the data that actually changed when the slave was unavailable. This is all designed to be to provide this high availability as soon as possible, because if we decide that we need to synchronize entire node, it can take a while with current disk sizes. So if that's not needed, Haas will try to synchronize only as small amount of data as possible. And what Haas can do with SplitBrain is to just detect it. There is no good way to actually automatically handle SplitBrain, because in SplitBrain case, you can have important data, incompatible important data on both of the nodes. So you have to manually verify what data do you have, and you can either forget the data on one of the nodes or synchronize them somehow. But Haas has no knowledge how to do that. It doesn't know what kind of data you actually have. It can be UFS running MySQL, or it can be ZFS running, I don't know, NFS server. But what Haas can do is to avoid data corruptions, which I show for storage area network. So in case of SplitBrain, Haas will detect that both of the nodes have incompatible changes, and the nodes won't be able to connect. It will log this problem and eventually will run some script of yours to send an email or to do something about that. But what it can do is not to corrupt your data. And actually, it might be actually quite good in some of the cases, because the nodes can still run. You have two master nodes, but they both are fully functional. They cannot see each other modifications. That's true, but they can still provide some services because they don't step on each other's toes. When you look deeper in such solutions, it always, of course, looks quite simple at first, but when you look deeper, how you can, for example, write data in case of Haas, when you receive write request, how can you handle that? So, of course, you can write the data to local disk and just send it to the slave and report success. This will be very fast, but of course it won't be correct, because there is, if the slave node dies, you cannot decide which data you have to synchronize. So at best you would need to synchronize entire thing. So another possibility you could try is to keep some bitmap of extents, where extent is just some big block like 1 or 2 megabytes. And you mark extent you want to modify in this bitmap as dirty, you write data locally, you send the data to the remote node, and wait for confirmation. When you receive confirmation and once your local write succeeds, you mark extent as clean and report success. This would be correct, but very, very slow, because on local node, each write will be turned into 3 writes, actually. So this will be very slow. So what I do in Haas is to mark extent as dirty, write data locally, send data to the slave, wait for confirmation, and report success. I don't mark extent as clean, which means that I keep some number of extents dirty all the time. If your writes are more or less hitting the same extent, there will be no need to update this bitmap. If you call DD on your partition, it will just mark the extents as dirty for the first request, and you can still do some writes without touching the bitmap altogether. And of course, this number of extents should be big enough to actually make a difference and to make you able to hit those dirty extents, but should be small enough So when you connect the nodes, you have to you can synchronize those dirty actions very quickly, like in few seconds. But this way we can avoid many bitmap updates. And configuration. So configuration file may look like this. You decide which local disk you will use. You decide where is the remote node. And the configuration file is designed to is designed so you can copy the configuration file into both nodes. And you can have the identical configuration file on both nodes. HAS will decide based on host name or host UUID which part of the configuration file actually should read. But this is quite nice that you can have the configuration file identical on both of the nodes. How to quickly run HAS? So I always start from the slave node. You can start HASD, create data, which will just store some metadata on your local provider, and you change the role of the for your resource. On the master node, you start HASD, you call HAS control create data, you change the role to primary. Changing role to primary will create dev HAST resource name provider. You can just put UFS on it and you can mount it. And from now on, all the writes to this file system will also be replicated to the slave node. And all the reads will be satisfied from the local components. So there is no network traffic when you are reading. There are some exceptions. For example, when you synchronize the data between nodes and the slave has more recent data, you will just read from the slave node. Okay, so after initial import of HAST, the work is still ongoing to provide more features, to fix some bugs and stuff like that. So most interesting, I guess, features we have now is to avoid synchronization when possible. In the case I show you on the previous slide, there will be no initial synchronization because HAST will know that there are no writes to the components yet. So we can just avoid synchronization. So you don't end up synchronizing 1 terabyte of zeros, for example. There is compression support now. There is an algorithm I call, it's not really algorithm. There is a mode to detect zero blocks. So if you need to synchronize providers, it can optimize the cases where you have only zeros, and it will just send the information how many zeros you have to write. There is also LZFS algorithm to compress on the wire data. There is checksum support. You can run shell scripts based on some actions. For example, when the slave connects or when you have split brain, cases like that, you can run your own shell script and do some work. I know, send email or something like that. I added Capsicum support to HAST recently, which will allow to drop privileges in case of HAST running in secondary role, and also for HAST control utility. You cannot yet use Capsicum for primary node because you cannot send IO controls to the descriptor, but we are working on it. And the feature from yesterday is that you can use jail instead of change root, which gives you a bit more protection because in case of change root, you can still access the network and you can still see the all the processes in the system. I use IP-less jails, so you cannot access the network. And also, when it comes to jails, you cannot see other processes running in the main system. So this provides quite a good isolation. Other stuff, it's not really interesting. stuff like handling SIGHUB should be from the beginning, but it took a while to implement properly. Okay, before we get to questions, we still have some time, so I will try to show you how you can use HAST. So let's start from the, I have two virtual machines, HAST01 and HAST02. So let's start from the HAST02. The configuration file is a bit different from the one in presentation. There is a source address I want to use for connections. Because if you assign cluster IP address, you can end up using this to connect the other node, and the other node decide which connections to accept based on the remote. So if the remote node is has this IP address, I will also check. When I'm slave, I'm just accepting connection. And when I'm master, I'm trying to reconnect to the slave node. And I will use this IP address to on HAST01 to connect to the other node. And if the other node is connecting to me, I will check if this IP address really matches the IP his source IP address. Okay. So let's start HASD on both of the nodes. I can create resource, and I can change role to secondary. Okay. Here I change the role to primary, and now as you can see, I have a geom provider, a very big geom provider, which synchronizes the data between the nodes. So I can just put UFS file system on it and mount it. Okay. Now I will just create some random file. Okay. So what I will try to demonstrate to you, I will try to demonstrate a highly available FTP server. So our HAST nodes will provide FTP services, and we will see how the roles are changed between the nodes when one of them dies, for example. Okay. So maybe I will just change the role back to init. And I have in RC local some logic to actually start HASD and start UCARP script, which will assign IP address and start my services. Those are not recent core dumps, of course. Okay, here I assign IP address and I start INETD. Okay, so I will reboot. Actually, I don't have to reboot. I will just... data. Okay. I think I can... okay, so what UCARP first does is to change the role to backup. That's why he's trying to remove a cluster IP address which is not assigned. That's expected. Okay, and we should have our file system mounted by UCARP actually. So as you can see, the file system is back. and I can just try to ping the node and okay, FTP server works. So what I will try to do now, maybe I will just also run this on this node so it can be slave. As you can see, this node didn't switch to the master role, of course. File system is not mounted here. When we try to status this node, his role is secondary. And this role, this node's role should be primary. Okay. So now we'll try to reboot primary and we will see if the secondary will pick up the master role. Hopefully it will. Our ping is still running. Okay. Okay, as you can see, it switched to the master role, and you can fetch your file from the FTP server. So I'm not sure how to confirm that this node doesn't work. And we can use hast control to see the status, and as you can see, that's the primary node. So I actually expected some ping to be lost, but I think it went quite smoothly. So not even one ping was lost, so that was quick. Okay, so I think that's more or less the end of my presentation. Do you have any questions, maybe? Yes. So basically, we should synchronize only the data that were modified during the outage. I think it should be back at this point. And it's secondary now. There are no dirty accent, but we can also try such tests. But basically, you can, of course, modify the master node when the secondary is down. It will just synchronize, it will mark those extents as dirty, and it will synchronize only the changes you made during the outage.
So that machine you rebooted will never become a master again?
It will if for example, this master will die, or if you manually switch the roles, because I can send USR2 signal, I guess, to UCARP to switch the roles. Mm-hmm. And then I can actually try to do that. Okay, so you can see that's the primary and this should be secondary now. Yes?
Where are changes stored? If you've got stuff that needs to be written to a secondary that's offline, how long can you leave it offline? You mentioned a couple of minutes is fine. What about a couple of hours?
No, you can leave it as long as you need. You still have a local provider which you are writing to. So on primary, we store data in two places. We use local disk to store all the data, and we basically mirror the data over the network. So we store the data on the local disk, and we send the data to slave. So slave might be unavailable. You actually can start your cluster with only one node and just add slave when you are ready, and it will just synchronize all the data as needed.
Short outage, if it's only going to send what changed, how does it know what changed?
Yes, there is a bitmap of extents which we maintain.
So it's just going to basically change things that were marked in those extents as
dirty. Exactly, yes. Any other questions?
Yeah,
Yes, David?
So, I guess an alternative approach to a bitmap of dirty extents would be to have a serialization number, and then instead of writing to say that an extent has been cleaned when it's been updated, you just keep track of, as long as you're updating the extents in order, what the latest extent that was synchronized is. It would take more storage, but...
You mean to keep some kind of log?
Journal,
yeah.
Yeah, a journal, or if you think of it in terms of like a BGP, you know, last network state.
Yeah, this.
Because it seems like with this method, what you're doing is basically, you could eventually run out of clean extents if your secondary is off too long.
No, the bitmap is. The bitmap represents the entire disk you have. So you start with all extent marked as clean, and basically if you write at the beginning, you will mark extent 1, then extent 200, for example, etc. If you write to the extent 1 again, it's dirty already, so you don't have to do anything. So you won't run out of extents. For example, DRBD has a mode to have some kind of journal. So the place you have for bitmap, you can use for journal. That's nice property for very short outages, because you can also provide data consistency during the synchronization process. What we do in HAST with this bitmap, for example, your changes are not coming in the same order as your extents are, placed. So when we first modify extent 200 and then extent 1, during synchronization we will first send extent 1 and then extent 200. Which is the order is different from how we were writing the data. So if we have a primary outage during synchronization to the slave node, the file system on the slave node won't be consistent.
It also means that you're going to potentially have significantly more file system corruption in a case where the slave goes down. And then the master goes down while the slave is down, then the slave comes up and becomes master. It's not going to have, it'll be guaranteed to be missing extents, and who knows what that's going to do to the file system.
Of course, if you are taking into account scenarios that include two nodes outages, stuff like that, of course, we only can protect against one node outage. And also, this outage, when we lose a slave, for example, and the slave comes back, we can only guarantee that the data will be okay if the master won't die, not only during the slave outage, but also during synchronization to slave outage. So that's the period of time you better not lose your master. Max? I do that, but still, what DRBD does, it records all the changes in the journal. Of course, this journal isn't very big, so if the outage is a bit longer, it falls back to the bitmap of dirty extent. But I do synchronize bitmap, and the slave basically, even if your master dies with some of the changes, your slave can pick up, but he will have some stale data. But I'm not trying to protect against two nodes outage. That's different story. Yes?
What if the slave node disappears completely? Like somebody puts it on the truck and takes it away and they mix it up with a different machine or something, and then do you have to rebuild it?
Yeah, basically what I would do, Yeah, what you would need to do then, for example, okay, let's say I will change role to init for this for the secondary, right? And I will just recreate it. So now it's just a brand new secondary node. The other just died and disappeared. And I'll change the role to secondary. Let me see if it connected already. Yeah, that's right, yes. Any other questions? Yes?
Is the number of extents fixed?
You can configure the extent size, and then Hast calculates, based on your provider size, how many extents do you need. I did. This is just virtual machine, so. But yes, it will just scale.
Well, for example, how long does it take to synchronize a 3 terabyte disk?
Depends on your network speed. Yeah. But from what I saw, it should synchronize the data at full speed, be it the bottleneck your disk or the network. And of course, because the compression, because of those zeros, compression is turned on by default, if you just synchronize new disk, it should be fairly quick. Yes?
I missed the first couple minutes, and maybe you answered this question then, but aside from the smart resync, what makes this much different from G-Gate and G-Mir together?
Well... Yeah. So basically, Gmiru and Ggate were never designed to work in such scenarios. So, and I think that there are many arguments to use Hast instead of Gmiru and Ggate. For example, dirty extent argument is very important because you want to keep the outage as short as possible. And the outage didn't end when the slave comes back. It ends when it synchronizes the data. Also, stuff like compression. Ggate or Gmiru doesn't actually assume that the other component is somewhere over the network. I think there are many such cases, also the configuration file and stuff like that. It all makes this solution much, much better.
And I do see that. Well, one question I also had is, when I was doing the Gmir type setup, the slave node would often end up IDing the Gmir components and pick them up itself. Does this avoid that?
Yes.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, that's right, because Gmir will just taste.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes.
How much of a delay does this add to normal disk access? If you've got this thing that's basically in the way of all disk writes, waiting for, obviously if you're waiting for network traffic to happen, that's going to depend on your network speed and the speed of your slave. But notwithstanding that, I mean, are we looking at, say, a quarter of a percent of slowdown on average, or have you done analysis like that?
I don't have any numbers, but... Yeah, but the biggest factor is your network latency. So it depends. If you are using just regular disks, it might be possible that you may not notice the difference because the seek time for the disk is for the disks is quite long. Although for stuff like SSDs, et cetera, it may matter. What I recommend is to have hash partition as small as possible and only keep really data you need to keep in sync, because I'm sure it will add some latency. But also remember that the latency is added only to writes. Most file systems defer writes. So
as long as
you don't put sync, no A time is something else. Like, yeah. So for example, for stuff like ZFS, if you are not doing synchronous writes, or you are doing synchronous writes, but you have your ZIL device, additional ZIL device, you shouldn't actually notice the difference. There is another mode which is not implemented yet in Hast, because currently when I send the data to slave, it confirms once it stores the data on disk. And there is a nice optimization to this. It could confirm once it receives the data, but before storing the data to disk. There is really impossible scenario how you could lose some of the writes, a very small amount of writes, in such configuration, but it's so improbable that I would like to make it the default, but it's not implemented yet. Yes, that's right. Yes?
If I write some data to the master, the request that goes off to the slave...
At your request? Sorry.
The request that the master then sends to the slave to write that same data, is that sent before the commit is completed on the master, or is it as the...
It's done in parallel. There are two threads, and one is doing local writes, and one is sending, and another is receiving the confirmations. So, any other questions?
What thoughts do you have about being able to handle more complex cases like two faults?
The most problematic case the most problematic case is when you lose your master when you are doing synchronization of some large amount of data. That's the most problematic case. When you lose your master and your slave will come back, it will have consistent data, just stale data, but consistent. So when I was designing Hast, and actually the code is all there to support at least one master and a multiple slave configuration. Most of the code is there. The biggest problem with this is how to handle dirty bitmaps, because currently we only have one dirty bitmap. And we could use this one dirty bitmap for all the other nodes, but if you have like one master and four slaves, and one dies and you don't care, basically, you will just mark more and more extent as dirty because one of those slaves is not available. Alternatively, we could use...
So that would mean for each slave, the master needs to keep a different extent bitmap?
It depends. It could have one bitmap for all of them. It could have separate bitmaps. But actually, it wouldn't be just separate bitmaps. It would be... Each extent would have more than one bit. It will have as many bits as there are slaves. This should work quite well, although I would really like to support configurations where you can add more slaves if you want, or remove slave. But currently the dirty bitmap is stored at the beginning of the disk, so you cannot really resize the bitmap. So that's the... Other than that, the code is there to actually send requests to multiple slaves and stuff like that. Dirty bitmap, bit.
Having multiple bits per
extent.
Per extent is exactly the same as having multiple extent bitmaps. It's just to put them all in one place.
It's different because when you want to mark extent as dirty,
it's a single write.
Yeah, it's the same sector.
Yeah.
on the disk. Those are not separate sectors somewhere else. That's important a bit, yeah. Any other questions?
Have you encountered any problems running ZFS on this?
I don't think so. We have appliance which is using HAST quite heavily, and we are very happy with it. So. Okay, thank you very much. By the way, answering your question, when we switch secondary node, it's just synchronized at some point. So.
I wasn't quite following. If the master node dies, the slave becomes the master. But what happens to changes that were on the master that had been synchronized across before the master died?
There are no such changes, hopefully. You mean the scenario when both nodes are available?
Right, they're both available, they're working fine, master crashes, having not, machine, power supply dies or something. So there were some things that had been changed on the master that hadn't, the extents that hadn't.
Basically, currently we do synchronous writes. So whatever write request comes to them has
to... Turn you off.
Sure. Yes.